thought we agreed that last week's episode was going to be called Team Fortress Stew. Not Metaphor Stew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember how...
But then I even said something to you about Metaphor Stew, and you were like, yeah, it's fine.
No. I said Metaphorical Stew, and you're like, how about just Metaphor Stew? I'm like, okay. Then I said, how about Team Fortress Stew? And you're like, oh, man, what? You were so enthusiastic about it.
Oh, no, but you suggested it too late.
How did I suggest it too late?
Like, I'd uploaded it already.
Oh, yeah, right. It was like 10 minutes afterwards. You suck. The end. Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 8th, 2010. Got the month right this time.
Good job.
Yeah. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Rajguy.
Yo.
How you doing, AJ?
Good.
A little tired?
A little bit.
Well, why are you tired? It's like 10:30. My God.
Every day I go to work at 7 and I move stuff around.
It's a very sad story. Here's what we're doing
go
today.
Go make a fucking pizza. Bring it to me.
Here's what we're doing today. We're starting off the news. How's the news looking?
The news is exciting this week. I like some of these stories.
Did you lead off with which one you liked the most?
I led off with a big one.
Yeah, I'll be the judge of that. So after news, we'll do the quiz. Then we got our Let's Go Topical, our Week in Gaming, the releases, and that'll be the show. So go ahead. You have my permission to get started.
Okay, thank you. Tell me if you approve. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft Cataclysm has a release date.
I'll tell you why I approve of this release day as soon as you tell us what it is.
Because it is the day before your birthday, December 7th.
Yes. So, I mean, like, it's obvious what to get me now, right?
Some shoes?
Yeah. Let me just tell you right now. First off, special edition. And don't, like, wait till December 8th. Just give it to me when it comes out, you know? I'll go to, like, the midnight launch of it with you, you know? You can just get it for me and hand it to me.
Can you go pre-order it somewhere first?
No, you pre-order it.
I already pre-ordered it for me.
Okay, and pre-order for me too for my
birthday.
They
don't let you pre-order more than one.
Oh my gosh!
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Chris,
I'll go to a midnight launch at like at Best Buy or something to just get it.
Whatever. Just as long as I get my free copy of Cataclysm.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like the version I'm playing now, I guess. That's the problem with being in a beta. It's like basically you get to play a game for free, and then after a while they're like, now you have to pay full price to play this game
and start over.
Yeah, like, shit. All right.
So, in related news, they've also announced that the game has just surpassed 12 million subscribers, thanks to the Lich King launch in China.
Oh, well, there you go. Wonder what Cataclysm will do for it.
It'll probably give it a nice little bump.
I mean, we kind of have to be getting towards the peak here. Like, it took 2 years to go from 11 to 12 million.
Right. People were predicting they were going to hit 20, and they just kind of plateaued at 11.5.
Well, after a while, my God.
Which is nothing to sneeze at, of course.
I mean, yeah, there's that time where there's just as many people playing your game as there could possibly be.
Right.
All right, what's next?
OnLive has made the very wise decision to get rid of all fees associated with the service. It's just buy games now.
Do you think this means they're hurting?
Well, they try to play it off like, we didn't know if financially we could afford to not do this, but we now have the numbers that we can, so this is great. But, of course, yeah, everyone's saying they were probably not getting a lot of people trying, even though it technically has been free since it came out. But, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, people should at least try this service, because it does work, is the thing, you know?
All I'm saying is if they could get away with charging for it, I'm sure they would have.
Right. See, my only issue with the service, really, is their selection is terrible. Since it launched, they've only added, like, 3 or 4 new games.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, NBA 2K11 was a new release on there. They got the new Saw game and, like, Lego Harry Potter. Like, those are the only things that have been added to the service post-launch. There's even things missing from the closed beta I was in. Because during the beta, they had Mass Effect 2 and Dragon Age on it.
And those are not there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Let's see. Activision announces that Call of Duty Black Ops will support 3D across all systems.
What?
So it'll, on launch, have 3D support for PC, of course, PS3, and 360.
But 360 doesn't do 3D.
Yeah, it does. They just haven't done it yet.
Oh, I didn't know
that. In fact, I believe the Avatar game already supports it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what? So, like, once we get 3D, we're going to bust out the Avatar game.
That's right.
Yeah, I bet.
So Panasonic's getting back into the gaming console business.
Oh, God.
They've announced the Jungle. It's a portable device meant for playing MMOs. It looks kind of like an N-Gage, but bigger.
I have to imagine the only reason they're calling it the Jungle is that so that they could play Welcome to the Jungle for all of the commercials.
Oh, good call.
That's, I mean, not a bad idea. That would be pretty fancy commercials. Welcome to the Jungle. Some kid's like playing it and like he's on Warcraft or Battlestar Galactica Online.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a device primarily meant to play MMOs. You know what else is a device that primarily plays MMOs?
A PC.
Correct.
A PS3.
Final Fantasy 11.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
It's. I mean.
Good luck to them.
But why would it only play MMOs? I don't get that. It's gotta play other games, I bet.
You're not. I mean, it's the one way. I mean, when you think about it in a weird hypothetical sense, you're not gonna beat Nintendo or Sony or Apple at a strictly portable gaming device. But the one thing that none of those systems has done particularly well yet is an MMO.
Well, look, we're going to talk about this more on Let's Go Topical. Okay. So why don't we move on for now?
All right.
There's plenty to be said about the Jungle and our welcoming of it.
All right. NBA Jam is out for the Wii. And as we all hoped and dreamed, there are plenty of hidden unlockable characters. First of all, we get the Beastie Boys, the entire band. They're in there. And then all the politicians. Of course, President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, former President Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, former President George W. Bush, Sarah Palin, John McCain, and Dick Cheney.
You forgot my favorite unlockable characters.
Who's that?
The hosts of Sports Nation.
Oh, I missed
Colin
that.
Colin Cowherd.
He's
is in
it?
Again.
Yeah,
and Beetle. You have to input the code. I only noticed because I was watching their show. I think the code is ESPN SN, the SN for Sports Nation.
Nice.
So we can play as Colin Cowherd in NBA Jam, which I'm pretty excited about.
Of course, then what I love is Peter Moore is on Fox News because they're talking about how like politicians are in the game, and then the
Fox, not bipartisan.
Yeah, it's not bipartisan because Obama has some better abilities because he actually can play basketball.
Well, besides that, he's the president.
Yeah,
like if we're thinking 10. About this strictly from like what the video game must interpret the rating of a president compared to other politicians, like you know, his power level is over 9,000.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
He's the leader of the free world. If he wants to dunk, he could dunk.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But if anyone doesn't know who Colin Cowherd is, though, just look up some of his YouTube rants. They're pretty good.
Yes.
My favorite is his one on Mets baseball.
Yes. I also like Purdue Pete.
Yes, but no. YouTube, Colin Cowherd,
the Mets. Yes.
All right, next.
Moving on. If you would like to get early access to the Duke Nukem Forever demo, you should get Borderlands Game of the Year Edition.
I feel like I've seen this demo enough already, though.
Yeah.
Like I know all the tricks this demo has.
Yeah, you pee, you get a blowjob, double blowjob,
like,
excuse me.
It's not so exciting that I need to buy Borderlands again.
Right.
But whatevs.
Okay. The Prince of Persia 3D Trilogy remake thing. Apparently it's Europe only.
It'll come.
Yeah, I know.
It'll announce it. I mean, come
so,
on.
Did you look at the screenshots? I didn't realize how kind of bad those games look.
I didn't look at them. I mean, I don't know.
Like,
Warrior
Within looked like an up-res PS1 game.
Okay. I feel better with this kind of thing than other people, I think. Though. I played Final Fantasy VII with no problems, so whatever. It won't bother me.
Okay.
I'm well aware that these aren't going to look like, you know, our
Yeah, I know. It's not that bad. I mean, like...
You're saying they don't look good for PS2 games.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, but I don't remember them looking like that. Like, maybe just when it got up-res, it just made everything stand out.
Look, when I played... Here's what got me a little bit. When I played Metroid Prime the first time in 2002, I thought it was the greatest-looking game ever by far.
Mm-hmm.
When I got that collection for the Wii and I played Metroid Prime, that was the one time where I was a little weirded out by how much my memory betrayed me, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like, to me, like, that was the best-looking thing ever, and all of a sudden I was like, look at these textures. These aren't great.
Yes.
It's weird.
All right. Dragon Age 2. BioWare has kind of just more solidly explained what we all kind of figured. There is still save game importing in Dragon Age 2, of course, but because you're playing as this new character, really what it's importing is the world. So, like, who you have as the king of Orzammar and
But what
Ferelden,
if you're the king of Orzammar?
Then congratulations, king, I don't know.
You really think you're going to meet up with your character?
I didn't actually know you could be the king of Orzammar.
Yeah.
Cool. I
you
guess
think that
so,
was an
then.
Ending?
I never played a dwarf.
Oh, well, Ferelden then, whatever.
Oh.
I can't keep up with all these stupid names. You know what I mean.
Right. I didn't know you could be the king of Ferelden either. Cool.
Well, you can.
Okay.
That's the human kingdom, right?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, but yeah.
Oh, no, wait a second.
What?
I don't even think you have to be a human, because I was an elf and I think I could have. That doesn't make much sense.
No, Ferelden's just the whole land.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm very excited for that game still, by the way. Moving
I'm
on.
I'm excited.
But nervous.
I'm definitely getting it, like, day one.
Right, right.
I'm still, like, slightly nervous. I mostly have faith, though.
Right. Here, this looks at you. Kingdom Hearts Recoded is apparently going to be coming out January 11th.
I'm excited, but, like, they gotta announce Kingdom Hearts 3 eventually here. Because, I mean, I've had two Kingdom Hearts portable games behind me. And Birth by Sleep was awesome. Very much like a, you know, console game. But now I'll have this coded thing. I don't know what to make of that. And then there's going to be Kingdom Hearts 3D. You know, that'll be fine too. But let's, you know, come on. Let's get going here a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, but yeah, that's nice though. I'm glad. Because this was just a cell phone game in Japan that we didn't get for a while. So we get it. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Good for me.
Indeed. So Mark Rain of Epic. I like how he does. He comes out and just says flat out that the Nintendo 3DS is under spec to run the Unreal Engine 3. But then says that they don't have 3DSs, so he doesn't really know what it's capable of.
I don't see why it couldn't run.
What I love is his reasoning. He goes, well, if the engine would have run well on it, they would have come to us, but they haven't.
Man, like, that's pretty arrogant.
It's really arrogant. They're a Japanese company. Sorry.
Yeah, like, honestly.
You know, that's not as important to them. And
maybe
he,
it doesn't.
I mean, he said, like, if it does, they'll put it on there. I mean, if it runs on an iPhone, the 3DS looks
right.
like it could crank out what the iPhone does at least.
Right, it does run on... Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
If it can run it, yeah. No,
I think this is just him being jealous that he hasn't gotten a 3DS dev kit yet for free. And,
probably.
Like, Nintendo didn't come and hand-deliver it to him. I don't know about Mark. Sometimes he does come off as kind of arrogant. I mean, yeah, his company
sure
is very successful. And he drives his Ferrari or whatever.
I kind of assume that all of those big studio heads like that are pretty arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, yeah, especially like one that has had so much success.
Right. You want to know about one that hasn't had too much success?
Oh, please tell me you were talking about Dennis Dyack.
Yeah.
Good guess on my part, huh?
Good job. Silicon Knights is making the next X-Men game.
There is. You know why I like this? Because, like, I don't know. For some reason, there's some sort of, like, correlation between the X-Men franchise, the film franchise, and Dennis Dyack's, you know, games. There's something there. Like, he's going to Ratner it.
Well, I don't know. He might. This game, there's just a teaser trailer right now. New York Comic Con's this weekend, so we'll probably see more about it then. It sounds like it's some kind of game where you get to make your own mutant.
Okay. Yes. So basically, it's going to be like a... I imagine it's going to be a Western RPG light.
Or maybe just an X-Men game in the Two Human engine.
Oh my gosh. Where's Two Human 2, by the way?
They're still working on it, they said.
Yeah, I bet.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
the first one took 8 years.
Why would... Okay. In all seriousness, why would they still work on it?
Because they said they were going to. I think it's just a pride thing at this point.
But, like, the first one didn't do well.
Eh.
You can't... And it probably was really expensive. And
hey,
I imagine
the first
sequel
Killzone
would be
didn't
really
do well,
expensive.
But Killzone 2 happened, and we're getting Killzone 3.
We have to admit that Killzone was a very... that was the exception, not the rule. Because PlayStation basically forced that franchise onto us. Like, you are going to like this.
That is
you
true.
Have no
they
choice.
They really did, didn't they?
Oh, they were. They're like, here's Killzone 2. We're making a big deal about it. So get
Whether
excited,
you
everyone.
Like it or not.
Right, basically. Two Human 2 never happens, I'm calling it.
Okay.
It shouldn't happen. I'll make fun of him if he does it. There's no reason to. All
right.
It would be like if they made a sequel to Batman and Robin. You don't do that. You move on.
So you're saying you
take
like,
your lumps.
Are you saying you like new IP?
Is this your transition? Then yes, I love new IP.
Oh, okay. Well, then you might not like Kirby Epic Yarn as much.
Oh.
See what happened here.
You tricked me there.
As some of the naysayers were commenting upon the game's debut, a lot of people said this looked like it could have been anything but had Kirby kind of shoehorned into it. Well, we were all actually right. Apparently it was supposed to be a game starring Prince Fuzz.
Fluff,
excuse me.
It's sad that I know that.
Yes. And then Nintendo's like, yeah, this is fine and all, but can you stick Kirby in there? And they're like, but we put all this work into Prince Fluff. But they did it, and Prince Fluff is, in fact, the co-op partner
in
the game.
So. Do you have a problem with this?
Not really.
I mean, it seems like Kirby was a pretty good fit here.
Yeah.
Let's admit it. A lot of Nintendo's attempts at launching new IP haven't gone great in the past.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, like Animal Crossing, I guess, stuck.
Kind
like
of.
Pikmin,
I mean, like Pikmin, no.
Not so much, and that's really about it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, like, they did that, didn't they do something? Never, let's move on.
Yeah.
They must have done something. Didn't they do something on the Wii? Never mind. Let's keep going.
Okay. Let's
remember
see.
They were going to do that like Project Hammer game?
Yeah, I don't know
a
what
disaster,
that was.
Day of Crisis.
Yes.
Yeah, never happened.
Okay. Bionic Commando 2. A lot of people were very upset that there was jumping in the game. How sacrilegious. However, they've announced in addition to easy, medium, and hard difficulty, there is retro difficulty, which, as you guessed, removes jumping from the game.
Now, you say that people are mad about the addition of jumping in a condescending kind of way. But isn't that the whole point of Bionic Commando?
Yeah, but it was always one of those...
Done with grappling?
It makes sense to people who played Bionic Commando on the NES, but if you show that game to someone who doesn't understand the franchise history, you're like, here's a platformer with a grappling hook. See this barrel that your guy's in front of? He can't get over it.
AJ, me and you played Rearmed Co-op. We never played the original Bionic Commando. We got into it.
Oh, I knew what it was. No, I'm not saying... I mean,
I didn't.
I don't care either way. I mean...
It seems to be going against the kind of, like, formula of the franchise. Like, it's kind of the whole point is that the platforming is done with a grappling hook and not with a jump button like every other game.
Well, now you have it either
way. Okay, but look, you can't just design a game with jumping in mind and then get rid of jumping.
Oh, no. They've been doing this from the start. They said, like, all the levels are designed to either be played with jumping or without.
See, but look, if they put jumping in there, of course I'm going to go for the jumping mode.
Well, sure.
I'm not going to handicap myself. Like, if I feel... I still feel like they... Look, I'm going to play your normal mode, okay? Because that, to me, is the game you designed for me to play. I don't care what what mode you threw in there to try to, quiet down your dissenters or whatever.
Okay.
Next.
Shenmue is coming back, but don't get excited. It's coming back as an online social game.
Fantastic.
It seems to me like Sega had a board meeting. They were like, Farmville makes money. And so
we haven't ruined everything yet.
So does this Mafia Wars.
Mafia Wars?
Maybe we should make one of these. Yeah, but how can we get people to play it? Because we don't know how to make the game like that at all. We don't know what we're doing, period. Well, let's see. Which one of our beloved franchises have we not yet completely bastardized? Well, we put Ryu in a forklift in Sega All-Stars Racing.
That was kind of cool, to be fair.
Yes. We teased him, and now we just rape him and put him on Facebook.
I mean, yeah, it's dumb. I don't know what to say. Although, there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm in the press for Sonic Colors. You've been picking up on that?
Yeah, apparently it's good. I hope it is. I'm fine with it if it's good. Even the co-op is getting nice previews.
We'll see. Yeah, wouldn't that be something if, out of nowhere, here's Sonic Colors to save the day?
Well, actually, that's a good transition, Mike. Because Sega has announced that with the upcoming releases of Sonic 4 and Sonic Colors, they've decided to delist all these other Sonic games.
Such as?
Sonic Unleashed, Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, Sonic DS Rush, Sonic Rush Adventure... Basically, they don't want to...
Sonic Rivals? Question mark?
I guess. Like, they don't want to confuse the consumer, I guess.
With the bad Sonic games? Like how Sonic Unleashed is already getting off.
Yeah, like, I mean...
You hear what I said?
I get it.
I didn't mean to say that. It was funny, though. Continue!
Yeah, I mean, from a completely objective point of view, yes, those were shitty games, and you probably don't want people playing them. But also, from the marketing point of view, you gotta figure, if people are buying these games, they might buy these other ones and generate some revenue. I mean, it's almost funny to me that all of a sudden, after 10 years of neglect, it's like Sega's like, wait, we should give a damn about Sonic. I mean, I guess it's good, it's just jarring.
Yeah, it's hard to...
It's like someone who beats his wife, and then one day he's like, you know what, she's all I've got. I love her.
It's like you think there's some sort of motive behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we don't know what's going on. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. If you still like God of War 3 and you want to get God of War Ghost of Sparta, good news. Getting Ghost of Sparta will allow you to play as Kratos' brother, whose name I forgot to write down, in
kinda
God
gave
of War
away
3.
Kratos' brother, though. Like,
huh?
They gave it away, though, with this thing. Like, they show you what it looks like and everything. Like, I kind of thought that was going to wait. That was going to be a big reveal in Ghost of Sparta.
See, I didn't even know he was the playable character in Ghost of Sparta until you mentioned something before we started recording.
I don't think he's the playable character in Ghost of Sparta.
Oh, he's just in it.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
He basically looks like Kratos with, like, hair.
I think he kind of looks cooler than Kratos, maybe because of it. Maybe not as iconic.
He looks a little gruffer.
Yeah. He looks a little gruffer.
A little grizzled.
Doesn't look quite so inherently angry.
Yeah. He looks like a person. Let's see.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings Online, since going free-to-play, has doubled its revenue.
Well, that's good for
them. This is the second successful transition to a free-to-play game that Turbine's had. And they even said, like, LOTRO wasn't, like, in trouble or anything, kind of the way that Dungeons & Dragons Online was. But they just kind of, like, ran the math and, like, yeah, we think we can make more money if this is free-to-play. And they were right.
I hope Star Trek Online goes free-to-play.
I agree. That'd be good for that game. Like,
I think
it would
make a lot of sense for that game.
Unless you are, like, a Knights of the Old... Or, excuse me, the Old Republic. With World of Warcraft out there, you are not going to get people to pay $15 a month for your game when they could be, or probably already are, paying $15 a month for Warcraft. It's just not going to happen.
I don't understand why all these developers want to make MMOs. Even big-name developers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bungie, who apparently are teasing that an MMO is going to be their next project.
I don't think it's an MMO. The way he said that, everyone's like, MMO. He just said, like, the world's around you. Bungie.net could be argued as something with keeping the Halo world around you right now.
Well, I don't know. But
yeah.
You would agree it would be... Well, okay. Once again, let's go topical. So,
okay.
Next.
My final story. Nintendo, to continue their celebration of the 25th anniversary of Mario, is releasing, for now in Japan only, a Mario Red Wii that has installed on it a hacked ROM version of Super Mario Brothers with, like, the question marks on coin blocks to replace with 25s and little things like that.
Cute.
Yes, good fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm done.
All right, here's your quiz.
Thank you.
All right, question one. What year was Silicon Knights founded?
1994.
Two.
Damn.
All right. We switch gears completely here. Who developed Icewind Dale?
Black Isle.
Correct.
Yes.
Who published Icewind Dale?
Interplay.
Correct.
Yes.
Icewind Dale runs on what version of the D&D rule set?
Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Second edition.
Ah.
What is the name of Icewind Dale's first expansion?
Heart of Winter.
Correct. Bonus question. Icewind Dale 2 was released in what year?
Ooh, 2003.
Two.
Damn!
This is in celebration of Icewind Dale and its expansions being released on goodoldgames.com.
Icewind Dale was cool because that was the one that let you create the whole party from scratch.
Right.
Its story wasn't quite as good as a result, I guess, but if you just like the pure gameplay of Baldur's Gate, it was really fun to be able to roll the entire party.
I played Icewind Dale 2 a little bit on GameTap.
I have a copy somewhere.
It was kind of neat doing that. It was really hard, though.
Well, I mean, Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition, as it is a pretty complicated rule set. And then, you know, PC gaming interface design of the late 90s and early 2000s wasn't that great.
Well, like there's this like one part though, like in like the first town in the game, you can walk in and you find an angry sorcerer there. He just like it just seemed like there's no way I could kill this guy. Like right. I had no chance.
Well, I mean, again, with the earlier Dungeons & Dragons rules, like healing was a lot harder. You could only use a lot of the spells like once a day, and that was it.
Right.
They're very hard games, and you have to really, really know what you're doing to be successful. Like, it's the kind of thing that, like, if you were to say, I want to play this, but I'm going to go game fack it, I wouldn't mock you. I'd say that's fair.
Mm-hmm. I feel like for games like those, I would want, like, an old-school strategy guy by, like, yeah. You know, Prima or something.
Or Brady Games.
Yes, give me that thing. Official or otherwise. You notice how a lot of those games seem to have, like, two official strategy guides? What is that about?
You know.
All right. So, let's go topical.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
All right. Here's our first topic. NBA Jam is on your to-buy list.
I still want to see exactly what is going into the console, or not console, the high-def versions, I guess. Price, is it downloadable, is it disc-based, is it getting all the modes? The motion control is not going to matter as much to me. So I think I'd rather have it in HD and feature complete. So I'm probably going to end up getting it on 360.
It's kind of a hard sell to get right now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, there's October's a crazy month. Like, I didn't even realize. Like, I was stocking shelves at Best Buy, and, like, I open a box, and it's Castlevania. I was like, this is out? Mm. Oh, okay, I'm put it on sale now.
Right, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we got Fallout coming, we got Rock Band, we've got
Fable.
Fable.
Medal of Honor. Not that I care, but, you know, things yeah. like that. So, yeah.
That's going to be a good game to get around like the holidays.
What? How much is NBA Jam on the Wii?
It's $50.
See, that's.
But like you know, that's a good game to have home at Christmas when all your friends are in from out of town, and you could all hang out and play that together, just like Madden Arcade was last year.
Right. See, that's kind of the thing. Is like I want to play that with people.
Right. Because like Madden Arcade, the only time I've ever played that game. Was Thanksgiving and Christmas last year, but I played so much of it, we had so much fun with it, like, I was fine with that.
Right. Alright, next topic. Making an MMO would be a good move for Bungie.
If it's like, I don't think, if assuming they are making an MMO, I don't think they're making, like, a Warcraft-style fantasy action bar MMO. It's probably going to be, like, some kind of shooter, or some kind of action game. And, you know, they're...
Like ABP?
No, more like...
Oh, or APP.
More like PlanetSide.
Which also did wonderful.
Well, PlanetSide, you could argue, was way ahead of its time, because you played it. It was awesome.
It was kind of awesome when everything came together.
Right. And, I mean, you look at what they're able to do with their online matchmaking in Halo, I think they would be able to figure out a way to make it come together more often than not.
So you really think if they made a game that was an MMO, you know, what... RPG model or otherwise, they could find a way to make it successful.
Yeah, because A, we know it's going to be a console game, and frankly, no one's really been able to crack MMOs on a console.
See, then why is that a reason for you to think it will be successful? That would be a reason to think it would not be.
Well, the only people who have tried to do it are Square Enix. Microsoft had a Japanese... No, it was Level 5, who was doing True Fantasy Live Online.
Mm-hmm.
And who was doing Marvel Online?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Yeah. Like, really, well,
don't
like...
You think, so you don't think there's a reason why these projects seem to get canceled a lot?
Well, I mean, True Fantasy Live, that was, like, early. That was Xbox One.
Okay, Marvel, like, then. Or the console versions of Star Trek Online, or all these other games that were supposed to have console versions.
Well, see, those are cases where it was a console and PC game, and I just think they just realized, like, look, we made this game for PC. There's no way to get this to work on a console. If they make it for the console... From the first place, that's what it's designed for.
I don't know why. There's so much evidence here, AJ, that this would not work.
It has to work eventually. You can't tell me that MMOs are forever going to be on PCs, and there will never, ever be a console-based MMO. You can't tell me that.
There are console-based MMOs. Look, you can do an MMO on a console.
Yeah, but
maybe. But it can't. It just can't work as well.
But there's no console-only MMO. All the Final Fantasy games are multi-platform. What's it? Free Realms is on both. DC Universe is going to be on both. No one's ever tried to actually make a console-only MMO.
Here's the problem. MMOs, by their definition, are deep. They need to be deep. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be deep with four face buttons and like a couple shoulder buttons. It is. It's hard to communicate. As crazy as it sounds, it's hard to communicate with only voice chat in games like that. Even in something like World of Warcraft, like, you can't even just use what the game gives you, and that's crazy. If you really want to play, you have to go download, like, a dozen add-ons to get it to, like, properly be able to do what you want.
I know, like, but what I'm saying...
I know you're saying it doesn't have to be Warcraft, AJ, but these games, if they have to be at least somewhere near that complicated. I'm not saying they have to be an RPG, but they have to be complicated, or else no one's going to want to keep playing them. It can't just be, like, okay, we're going to do team deathmatch in one giant map.
No,
and there's going to be a leveling system, and there's a shop where you can buy items. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, all the examples you're giving of why this is going to fail is you're drawing parallels to games that exist already on a computer.
Okay, but see, sure. Okay, here's your argument is that, well, Bungie's going to revolutionize everything. You can't predict that. You're going way out on a limb here.
Look, all I'm saying is, let's not forget, in 2001, the idea of a first-person shooter on a console was ludicrous. GoldenEye kind of did it, and that was about it. And these are the guys who basically set the standard for first-person shooters on a console.
Okay.
They've done it before.
What have you done for me lately? 2001 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And can we both agree that Halo Reach, as great as it is, I'll say it. I know I've been giving it its lump. It's great. It's really good. Not very different from Halo Combat Evolved.
No, it's not. I mean, they've been basically refining the same formula since 2001. And, I mean, that's okay. I mean, now they've said they're done. They're moving on. They're taking on the next step. This is the next step.
Is this a better move for them than just making a normal, different, single-player focus with maybe a multiplayer component?
Yes, if you look strictly at the gameplay of Halo, that hasn't changed. But from Halo 1 to Halo 2, you had there, not only was it online multiplayer, but the whole concept of lobbies, of a persistent party, the way they did that, which a lot of games still don't even keep up with. Then you look at what they did with Halo 3, with things like the theater and Forge World, and Reach, they've just expanded all of that. There's new stuff that they keep adding that I think a lot of people kind of take for granted. But it's revolutionary stuff. I mean, Call of Duty Black Ops is going to have a theater mode, much like Halo 3's and Halo Reach's.
Look, did we not berate the guys who did Crackdown for doing a MMO after Crackdown?
Yeah, but they made one game that wasn't... I like Crackdown, but let's face it, it's not the most deep, complex...
All right, fine.
...game ever. It's basically, here's some superpowers and a bunch of cannon fodder. Have some fun in this city we built.
I don't know. I think you're going way out on a limb here with this one. But whatever. We'll see. I mean, it probably won't even be an MMO, so who knows? We'll never know. Remember when there was, like, that Halo MMO and it basically was, like, a World of Warcraft MMO?
Yeah, being made by Ensemble, of all people.
Weird. All right. Developers are right to defend their games from bad reviews. Now, have you been following some of the stuff with Hydrophobia?
No, I actually have.
Hydrophobia got some bad reviews specifically from Edge Magazine and from Destructoid.
Mm-hmm.
And they went ahead and kind of, well, I guess the kind word would be called them to help them, and the unkind word would be harass them about it, claiming that they were playing the game wrong. Do you think developers really have this kind of right to, I don't know, call reviewers after the fact and argue for their game?
Well, I mean, they're not going to go back and change their view. It's just like...
That's what they want, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's just like in a baseball game or a basketball game or football game when the coaches start arguing with the umpires about
the call. Okay, but so you're saying it's just like that? These things aren't alike,
exactly.
Though.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, yeah, I mean, they're allowed to do it. You have the ability to communicate. These are open channels. You could say what you want. Should you? Probably not. I mean, it just kind of makes you look like you're whining. Like, if you accuse someone of playing your game wrong, that probably means you either designed it poorly or didn't do a good enough job explaining the rules of the game within the game's context.
But do you think that this shows a certain lack of respect that maybe developers have for the journalism aspect of the medium? I mean, do you think Ebert would get a phone call from Spielberg if he didn't like his latest movie?
Well, not Spielberg, because Spielberg doesn't care.
Anyone, if, then.
Yeah, I don't know.
And not even Ebert, then. Just some guy. Like, you know.
See, the, you just, I mean, you have to, just to play devil's advocate, you have to put yourself in the developer's shoes. Like,
sure,
they spend
it sucks.
3 years building this game. I mean, no one goes out to make a bad game. Everyone tries to make the best game they can. 3 years of your life, and then someone in five paragraphs just dismisses it. And not only did they dismiss it, but if it is like a mainstream publication like Edge or Destructoid, that review score can impact your sales. You know?
But this kind of reminds me of that kid in high school or middle school or whatever who would get like a C and go talk to the teacher and somehow get it turned into a B. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably you, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah, I bet. You're a sweet talker. I know it was you.
I got all my A's.
Yeah, I bet. I don't know. I don't... I can't... you really defending this?
I'm not... I'm saying they have a right to do it. I just don't know if they should.
I really don't think they should. I think it's juvenile, and I think it hurts our industry. So, shame
like,
on
I
them.
I think it's fair if you want to engage in a genuine dialogue with the reviewer and be like, well, you know, tell us what you didn't like. Let us get this criticism in our next project. You know,
oh, please.
I'm saying if that's what they wanted to
do. Yeah, I bet it is.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that's what they did, but I'm saying that's if that was the case, that's fine.
In the example we have, the person from Hydrophobia called Destructoid's, like, art editor to try to get Jim Sterling's phone number and then, like, left five messages on – or three or something on Jim Sterling's phone. Isn't that borderline harassment?
Yeah, okay, that's a bit much.
Like, really, though? I don't know. All right, next. Steven Spielberg's Halo movie will actually be made.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's Spielberg, it has a shot. Cause,
oh, my God, because, you know, he's better than Peter Jackson.
Well, he's got enough clout to do basically... he owns his own production company. That helps.
Didn't some movie game just get canceled that I thought would be and said would be very recently? One of the higher profile ones.
What, World of Warcraft, you mean?
Yeah, Sam Raimi's World of Warcraft. Did I not tell you that wouldn't happen?
Well, he's going to do the Oz
okay.
for Disney.
So what? That's always what happens. Of course they're going to go do something else.
Well, but the thing is, the
you, thing every time, AJ! Listen! No! Every time this happens, I say, this will never happen. You say, well, you have to understand the certain special circumstances around this occasion.
Well, Mike, if I just say you're right and we move on, there's no podcast.
You can agree with me. We can discuss it.
Well,
what's...
let me just make my damn point. Shut up.
All right.
Fine. Okay. What I like is that Spielberg is saying if they do it, they want to use the books, which...
Okay. Create, probably like, a good idea.
Sidesteps the whole problem of you inadvertently, you know, nullifying something else that Bungie or 343 or whoever's working on, and you don't screw with anything. This way you're already working in sanctioned ground, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's simple, because that was the issue with the last Halo movie, is Microsoft
sure,
and Bungie
why.
Wanted to maintain a lot of control, but Fox and whoever else was like, no, we're going to do it like this and this and this. And that's where a lot of it fell apart.
Sure, but I don't know. Egos, money, things always get in the way of these projects. Won't happen. Next, Castlevania, Lords of Shadows. Or is it Lord of Shadows? I don't know. It's unfairly being given no chance by many gamers.
Unfairly? I don't know. It came out right as everything's getting in the full swing. You're asking fans to basically take a gamble on an existing franchise transposed into a genre that's traditionally not known for by a pretty much brand new developer.
Why they're not planning it, you think? Or is it because they're looking at this and are very quickly screaming God of War clone?
I think even part of it might be, at this point, the Castlevania franchise is so saturated that even though this is completely different, at the same time, you're like, oh, another Castlevania game.
See, but it's saturated because they kept making and kept making and kept making these bullshit Metroidvania games on the portable.
Right, and
they
kind of...
the ground. Here's something different.
Yeah, I'm just saying, they like, to a lot of people, I'm mostly talking about people who don't even really understand that this is something completely different. The hole's been dug too deep. Like, this one game is not going to be enough to get them out in a lot of those people's minds.
I just get sick of the whole God of War clone thing. Like, every action game that has a combo system is a God of War clone now.
Right.
As if that was something that never existed until, like, 2002 or whatever that game came out. I don't know. You know, how do you feel personally about the game? Are you, like, any interest?
Not really. I mean,
I kind of have some. I mean, I think it looks pretty.
I have to say, I honestly don't know a ton about it. I haven't, like, really seen a lot of media on it or anything.
It's an action game.
Yeah, see, that's just kind of what people say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's fine. Again, I could go buy that, or I could go buy Fallout and Fable and Rock Band.
I would argue that Fable's pretty much just an action game, too, but whatever.
Right.
All right, last one. The Jungle has no chance.
Not at all. Are you kidding me? Look,
I thought you were just saying about how they might have a chance with the whole MMO scheme.
No, I was saying that was their thinking, maybe. I'm sure they also thought they had a chance of making money on their 3DO when they said, let's just make it $700 and we'll make money on every one we sell.
Every one we sell.
Hey, they got two out of us.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But anyway, I mean, just look at the thing. It looks like a pager from 1992. It's the ugliest, most god-awful design. It looks uncomfortable to hold. It's all sharp corners. It's way too big. Like, I don't know who this is for.
So, you're not taking it seriously.
No. This is the next Phantom. I don't even think this thing's going to come to market.
I would be surprised, too. I mean, I guess it actually has a legitimate, like, electronics developer behind
it. Yeah, it's Panasonic and not just right. Phantom Industries or whatever they're called.
Phantom Industries. That there's an interesting story there that hasn't been told yet, I think.
I know.
All right, that's it for Let's Go Topical.
Yay.
Did you play anything interesting this week?
I did. I have a couple things here. A few things, actually.
All right, let's hear it.
First thing, I got Comic Jumper, actually.
You got that? I've kind of been mixed things about it.
Yeah, I was playing it. I got the trial. I was playing it, and I was pleasantly surprised, but I have to admit to not knowing much about it. And I had the points in my account from something already, so I was like, the hell with it. Let's do it. It's fun, because it takes a lot of classic genres of the, like, kind of 8- and 16-bit era, Contra, and, like, basic side-scrolling beat-em-ups, and even a little bit of Space Harrier. And it doesn't do them all, like, astoundingly well, but it also, like, it does them all just good enough that, like, the fact that there's so many of them and it's constantly switching makes it all work. Okay. Also, it doesn't hurt that the writing in this game is fantastic. Like, the humor is there. It's really good. And the whole concept of just how every, like level is a different comic book style, it just keeps everything interesting visually, and it's a good trope. What's fun about it is it breaks the fourth wall a ton. Like, the first level is you're in Starman's actual comic, and then there's, like, this really funny cutscene about how everyone just decides this comic is shit, and it gets canceled. So the conceit of the game is to get enough money to start your comic again, you have to guest star in all of these other popular comics. So, I mean, it's really good. I really like it. You know, yeah, to get an Xbox Live Arcade game, you can play the trial and enjoy it.
Very true.
Let's see. I played the open beta for Medal of Honor.
Oh, really?
I played it for 15 minutes and turned it off.
What is it? Very, Is it more like Call of Duty? Or is it Battlefield?
It's Call of Duty. Honestly, if you took someone who didn't know any better and presented them the two games, they might think it's just the same game.
Really?
You got your sprint button, you got your different kits you could pick with different weapons and different attachments. It felt exactly like Call of Duty.
Hmm.
And I'm apparently really shitty at it, too. I just died left and right.
Was it prettier than Call of Duty?
I was running on my PC. I just kept the default graphic settings, so, like, something's wrong, medium and everything. Looked just as good, really, to me.
All right, then.
So yeah, it's there. It's a thing.
So if you don't feel like going to Vietnam this year...
Right, if you'd rather stay in Afghanistan...
There you go.
And fight the opposing force.
Yes, whoever they may be.
Yes. And the, this is just a quickie. It's an iPad game. Tilt to Live is out for iPad. I think I talked about this in iPhone before. Mm-hmm. But what's cool is you can get it for free with the basic mode unlocked, and if you want the rest of the modes, it's like $4. It's a great game, though. If you have an iPad, definitely go get at least the free version, see if you like it. It's basically the best attempt I've seen at like a Geometry Wars on a touch-based or a tilt-based device, because you don't need any buttons for this game.
Right.
And it has a swinging soundtrack.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, the final game. I want everyone to listen to this segment that I'm about to say very carefully.
What is this?
I, on a whim, literally half an hour before we started recording, I said, fuck it. I bought Sonic the Hedgehog 4 for the iPhone on my iPad.
Wait, is it out on the iPad?
It came out today.
Really?
It's just the iPhone version, so I'm just running it on my iPad.
Is it like the same game, though, but just like, with iPad controls?
It is, except the special stages are different from what will be in the console version, and the minecart level, which I guess in the console versions is literally just like you're in a minecart for a few seconds, is like an actual tilt-based thing in this game. Like you're actually rotating the iPhone around.
Okay.
And that's what you do for the special stages too. But ready for the dirty little secret?
Yeah?
I like this game.
Well, is it just very Sonic-y?
It's like ye old Sonic that we've always wanted. It really is. You're not just holding down right the whole time. There's platforming. There's maneuvering. It works. It's a Sonic game. Actually, I mean, this might just be because it's the iPhone version. It makes it playable. Because you do lose some precision with just touchscreen controls for buttons like this. So being able to home in on the enemies actually kind of helps compensate for that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like aim assist on a console-based first-person shooter. So I actually am fine with that. It does this weird thing. I don't think the console version will do this, but when you run through, like, a loop, instead of Sonic rotating, like, the camera stays on Sonic and the world kind of rotates, you know what I mean?
How's that?
Like, so, like I mean, it's just a camera
I get
effect.
You, but is it cool?
I haven't like decided it. Yet. Like, no, I watched the trailer like for this yesterday, and I was like, oh, that looks dumb as hell. And I'm playing, I'm like, it's actually not that bad. So I'm not really sure where I stand on it.
Okay.
The only thing I really don't like is the music.
What? Well, why? What's wrong with
it? The problem is they were going for a retro sound, but they went too far.
Really?
It doesn't sound like a Genesis game. It sounds like a shitty Sound Blaster 16 from 1989.
Because the Genesis had a very distinctive.
Right, and they missed it. It sounds too low tech. The music itself, I guess, might be fine, but they just picked weird MIDI instruments for it. It just doesn't sound right. But, you know, that's whatever. But like I said, the game itself, I actually really like it.
Yeah,
I played
through
the entire first act, and I played through zone one of the casino zone. And,
Are you bothered that, like, these zones are pretty much just, here's, you know, the casino level, and here's the forest level, and...
No, I kind of enjoyed it, actually. Like I said, I mean, for the first time ever, I mean, Sonic 4 is the right name for this. It feels just like the Genesis Sonic games. It really does.
Yeah, that's good, then.
So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. Not only was I liking it, but it worked well on the iPad, and they did it, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still want to play the console version.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too.
The only new thing I played, I got the new Professor Layton finally, The Unwound Future. Not a whole lot to say about that. I mean, you know, it's more Professor Layton. You know, you go around, you solve puzzles. And
be very gentlemanly about
it. There's wonderfully animated cutscenes and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, I definitely enjoy that.
Is that Professor Layton movie coming to North America?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe
really? Eventually.
I hope.
I'll tell you what. Again, there's a shit ton of copies of that game at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah?
We have a ton of them.
Really?
Yeah.
But besides that, I play a lot more Halo.
Yeah, I should mention, the other night, well, our buddy Kip, his wife and daughters were out of town until Wednesday visiting his in-laws, so he was home by himself for a few days, so he called me. He was like, listen, we were playing Halo every night for the next three nights. I was like, okay. So we went into the playlist where it just puts you in teams of two against other teams of two.
Yeah.
There's like 16 people and all. And there's the rocket race mode, which I think I talked about with Halo 3 before in this podcast. But holy hell, is that mode fun.
Why didn't you ask me to play Halo?
You were working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
nuts.
Rocket race mode, for those who don't know, is one person drives a mongoose, the other rides in the back with a rocket launcher. You can't die if you're on a mongoose, but the rockets just propel you around, and you're just racing from checkpoint to checkpoint, and it's really exciting.
Hmm.
Like, really good. And there's also, we got a great video clip out of the one match where guy was racing for the checkpoint way out in front of us. Kip got this shot off that hit behind the guy, and it just caused him to start barrel rolling still towards the checkpoint. So, like, we basically shot him into it. But then, for whatever reason, the guy on the back of this mongoose decided to fire his rocket while they were upside down and he was looking up. And it literally, right in front of the wall of the checkpoint, just shot him straight up into the air. Like, it stopped all his momentum. He goes straight up, and we go right underneath him and got into the checkpoint.
Very nice.
It's on my file share if you want to check it out.
Yeah, so I played Halo, a little bit more Civ. I beat my first Civ game.
Oh, yeah? How'd you do it?
I did a technology victory.
Yep, that's
science.
What I did.
I was playing a second one. I was going for a cultural victory, but somebody's like been waging a constant war on me for like centuries, and like the one like tile border separating our countries. And like I was holding my own for a while, but then he got into the modern area, so now he's sending like tanks and planes and shit at me. So I'm like, I don't think I'm winning that one.
Darn.
Problem with the cultural victory is that you start losing gold after a while, and like your people start starving because like you're just trying to like give them theaters and shit.
Like we're hungry. It's like go see a play, you'll feel better.
Yeah. Oh, we're hungry. We're starving, but man, that's Shakespeare. I really want to tonight. I know I have to work a little early tomorrow, but I want to beat KOTOR. Man, it's not going
to
beat that.
Yeah, you need to friggin' do that before everything starts coming out.
I was so close to beating it like a month ago. Then we started moving and I like just stopped dead. But plus, I want to freaking play Planescape.
Mm.
Ugh. But yeah, I got to get on that. So that's all I got to say. I think I'm good.
Okay.
Ready for the releases?
Indeed.
We had Enslaved, Odyssey to the West, PS3 360, which seems to be getting a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I need to. I like I said, I'll probably gamefly this.
It's weird though, because like the way everyone was talking about it, I thought it was getting like great reviews. It's getting 8s. Like I think it's average is an 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like not that that's bad, but just the hype I was hearing.
Right.
Castlevania: Lords of Shadow, PS3 360. I still kind of want this. Maybe not right away.
Right.
But I want to play that. NBA 2K11, PS3 360. This is the Michael Jordan game.
Yeah, it's also on PS2 and PSP.
You know, it's like, I have a curious aspect. Like, I would rent this game if I had something to rent.
Apparently, the way it starts, though, is weird.
What do you mean?
It, like, before you even see a menu, it just puts you into, I think, the 1991 Bulls playoff run.
It's kind of neat.
But you don't
know how to play
the game.
It's still kind of neat.
You make Jordan look like a jackass, basically.
I kind of like what they were trying to do there, though.
Yeah.
Wii Party for the Wii. You know.
From what I understand, like the metagame around the minigames is just dog shit.
Hmm.
It's the classic Nintendo, like, we want to keep it fair for everybody. So, oh, you're winning? Well, you just landed on the green space, and that means you lose all your stars or whatever.
Pro Evolution Soccer 2011 for the PS3. I imagine that's on 360 also. I don't know.
Probably.
Didn't the soccer game just come out for the World Cup?
FIFA?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Pro Evo is Konami's game.
Oh.
FIFA is EA.
Which one's supposed to be better?
Traditionally, the past Pro Evo, but I think the general consensus is FIFA passed it up a couple years ago.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Lionheart, King's Crusade for the PC. You ever notice how many, like, really generic-looking, like, real battlefield-based RTS games there are for the PC?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy: The Four Heroes of Light for the DS. I have no idea what to make of this.
I don't know really what it is. Explain it to me.
It's just like an. It's like supposed to be kind of like an old school. Like, remember the DS remix for Final Fantasy IV and Final Fantasy III?
Uh-huh.
It's like, it looks like that, but they built a new game around it, so it's not just a port. So that's what this is.
Is that how it plays? It plays like old school ATV turn-based battles?
Yeah, I imagine.
Huh.
I guess I don't know. I mean, and I know there's like a job system and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, I was looking at the back of the box. It doesn't look just like those other remakes.
It has a bit more of an art style. This
yeah,
time.
It's like a little storybook looking. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked nice.
So, I feel like this is kind of like the response to Dragon Quest IX, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Comic Jumper, The Adventures of Captain Smiley for Xbox 360 Arcade. Left 4 Dead 2, The Sacrifice came out on, you know, that's the...
It's also for Left 4 Dead 1. It's on both.
So, but who do you play as? What's
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. Exactly.
That's weird. NBA Jam's out on Wii. Shantae, Risky's Revenge on DSiWare. Apparently the first Shantae, or whatever you pronounce it, was a big deal. I think it was a Game Boy Advance game or something. And that does it. All right? We all good?
Good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Excuse me. Cover for me, AJ. I just had a burp.
You can find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Steam Marketplace.
Yeah,
if you wanted to leave us a review on either service, it'd be much appreciated.
Yes. Do we have any Zoom reviews?
I've never used the Zoom Marketplace before.
No. All right.
It's coming to the Xbox, though, with the next update. I wonder if you'll be able to get the podcast directly on your Xbox.
Oh, man.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, not so bad. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.